And good morning to you, Adam. All the big news covered indeed. And we've got a, well, a decision to be made on Chautauqua, whether it's going to start in the Oakley plate.
Yeah, morning, Burke. A bit of doubt about what his kickoff race is going to be for this autumn campaign. He's among the entries for the Oakley plate, with that field due to be decided later this morning. And connections are sort of suggesting he's 50-50 whether he takes on the group one down there at Caulfield this Saturday, or they wait a week and sort of save him for the Canterbury Stakes. Now, the big difference between those two is obviously the Oakley plate's an 1,100-metre scamper where the speed will be on. He's only had the one trial so far to Chautauqua and looked pretty impressive in it. Or they go to the Canterbury Stakes like they did last year first up, and that's over 1,300 metres. So, given he's a little bit older now, I'm not quite sure what the right option would be for Chautauqua at this stage. I'm thinking they're probably going to lean towards keeping him in Sydney for the Canterbury Stakes over 1,300 metres. It's something he hasn't done first up in a very, very long time. And obviously, he clashed with La Romaine there last year. I don't think we know La Romaine there next week. So I think it's interesting to see what Chautauqua does this year. He's obviously aiming for a fourth straight TJ Smith Stakes a bit later in the campaign throughout the championships. And I think they might be leaning towards saving him in Sydney. But it'll be interesting if he does line up down in Caulfield in the Oakley plate.
Most disappointing runner last weekend, Deploy.
Yeah, it was TK, especially if you backed him and took the early odds. I think yeah. $3 plus on Wednesday and Thursday. And he was backed off a good thing leading up to Saturday. And obviously pulled up with a few issues, and Gerald Ryan's had a bit of a trouble trying to pinpoint exactly what's wrong with him. So he sent him for a battery of tests today at Randwick Equine Centre to try and get to the bottom of it. But reading between the lines, it looks like his autumn campaign could be in doubt. If we go back to last spring, here was a horse that was just in absolutely scintillating form. He was one of the horses that was selected to race in the Everest under the Chris Waller Racing slot and given a good chance of running top four or five as well. But his autumn campaign, it must be said, is looking in pretty grave doubt at the moment.
Now, Longleaf, $7 for the Blue Diamond, but after the barrier draw yesterday, it could be an open field now.
Yeah, try and find an open, more open group one than this one, Burke. He's going a long way, I reckon. $7 the field for the first two-year-old group one of the season. Obviously, this race has got the potential to make one of these horses into a multi-million dollar stallion after the Blue Diamond on Saturday. And the barrier draw probably hasn't shed too much light on which way the market's going to go. With $7 the field at the moment with the unbeaten Longleaf favourite. You've got $8 a Playstone in the Hood. Prairie Fire, who was outstanding last week, Kinky Boom and Ennis Hill, all at $9 and Written By at $10. So what's that? You've got six or seven horses within $2 or $3 of each other in the market. Anyone guess who's going to start favourite on Saturday? One of the more open races you'll see for a long time.
You found a couple of winners at Canterbury. Would take one even.
Yeah, I'll take one as well, TK. Yeah.
We're not greedy, mate, just one.
We're going to try and get the money early today, I reckon. Right. Race 2, number 6, Ridicule from the Brad Whittup Yard. She didn't have a lot of luck first up at Randwick there in a pretty messy race. She popped a couple of checks at really important stages. I think from the inside gate here with Corey Brown on. She can atone here. And the value, I actually really like the trial of this horse. This two-year-old race at Canterbury today, TK, is an absolute cracker. It's probably almost as good as a Saturday race, just given what time of the year it is. A couple of these horses trying to dodge some of the black-type races. Race 1, number 4, Almerton. He's only had one trial this campaign, and he trialled and he looked much more impressive to me than Irish Bet, who was very good in the Pierrot plate last week. I think he's been back from $21 into $10 already in early markets. So just something small on him, a very tough race. He's got tactical speed, he'll land near the pace, and might be hard to run down. So race 2, number 6, and race 1, number 4 for me from Canterbury today.
And Adam, this is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Over an 8-year period, Racing Victoria's stewards investigating the 5 trainers and 3 stable employees charged with 227 counts of breaching rules for tubing horses with bicarb. Now, the big thing here, Adam, is it goes to the general public because there's a thought process that maybe even horses in the Melbourne Cup were affected.
Yeah, I've seen some of those stories that have come out in the last few days, TK, and obviously if the Melbourne Cup is implicated in this scandal, it's going to be it's not a great look for racing, is it?
No,
really?
because it goes from the racing devotee to the general public then as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, TK. And obviously this evidence hasn't been tendered at the Racing Appeals and Disciplinary Board hearing yet, but obviously the newspapers are carrying some of the text message exchanges between some of the people implicated in this, suggesting the Melbourne Cup is a race that was targeted. And, of course, the race they're looking at is the 2015 Melbourne Cup. So if the evidence and the stories are turned out to be true, it's going to be another black eye for racing, that Australia's biggest race. You'd think the race would have the most security measures involved. Obviously, have security guards keeping watch on runners 24 to 48 hours out from the race. If the Melbourne Cup is implicated, it's just a terrible look for racing. So we'll wait to hear what the evidence is presented in those inquiries. But all the rumours suggest it's not a good look for racing.
Yeah, and it is a terrible look for racing. But the flip side of that is that these people at this stage, the counts are against them, the charges are against them. They of course, they're entitled to the presumption of innocence, Adam, but it shows that the stewards are vigilant and doing their job of protecting the integrity of racing as well.
Well, you can make the counter-argument, TK, and say this has been going on for 7 or 8 years. So how have they not found this until they've uncovered this reams of text messages, and this is why this inquiry is dating back 7 or 8 years. So
yeah.
I've heard some arguments saying, well, what were they doing for the last 7 or 8 years and not catching this? They have to wait on sort of uncovering this on a basis of the text messages on a phone going back 7 or 8 years. So
I would say gathering evidence to make sure it could eventually stick in the end, but it will be an ongoing story. Adam, we thank you so much, and good luck today at Canterbury. Race 2, number 6, Ridicule. Race 1, number 4.